Today on Real Radio.
Your grandchild's blind. You want them to see. There's a man down the street in a big gathering. Thousands of people are there. And you've been told that guy's got the power to open up the eyes of the blind. He's done it to three people already just last week. Get your grandbaby down there. But his teaching's a little off on the deity of Jesus. What are you going to do?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Thank you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called "What's the Big Deal About Bible Prophecy?" is taken from a proximity conference on Bible prophecy and how it relates to us today. It's God's desire that we all know how to enter the kingdom of heaven. Throughout the Old Testament of the Bible, the prophets spoke of a coming Messiah. The prophecy came to pass through the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And He alone has the power to save us from sin and death. We learned of this and other magnificent events from the prophetic word of the Bible. The Bible is like no other book in the history of mankind. Our entrance into the kingdom of heaven matters to God, and He gave us His word, so that none of us would perish in our sins. It's why as Christ followers, we need to always be prepared to give an answer for our faith and to spread the good news of the gospel to others. So today on day three of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the Bible warns us about false doctrines and teachings that are contrary to God's word. Many will depart from faith, deceived by words that sound close to the truth. There will even be those who offer miracles, but they will come from demonic spirits. So many lives will depend on our witness for the truth. And now, in his special message called "What's the Big Deal About Bible Prophecy?" here is pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says in the second coming, we will be with him, Revelation 19, coming out of heaven to come back to the earth. Question, how did we ever get up there? Answer, the rapture. But listen, Jesus is going to come back the second time like he came the first time. The first time he came to the nation of Israel and he came to Jerusalem. The second time he's going to come to the nation of Israel, which has to be in existence, and he has to come to Jerusalem, which has to be in existence. Think of it. One is a blessed, beautiful thing. The other one is he coming in fiery judgment. Read Isaiah 61 in the following verses. It's tremendous. And then also, we're to be prepared. The Bible wants us to be watching, so it's the imminency of Christ's return, and then we need to be prepared, and I love this, prepared. 1 John 3, verse 2, you guys all know this verse. It's so encouraging. Beloved, now we are the children of God. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that He rose again from the dead? Listen to me. I am not saying that you're supposed to do some sort of penance so that you help him out on the cross. I'm not saying that you somehow be good enough to get yourself resurrected from the dead. I'm asking you today, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead for your justification? If you believe that he did it all, then all to him you owe. And let me tell you something. That is a wonderful truth, because God says, by putting his Holy Spirit in your life, you're now my child. 1 John 3, 2 says, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Are you prepared to meet him like that? And then finally, we'll end with this. The third and final argument is, what's the big idea about Bible prophecy is this. Why there is in the Bible a warning of what we heard so much today about deception. Some of the things you heard today were shocking to some of you. And yet, I think if you were to take a microphone, someday we've got to be bold enough to do this. Everyone who's ever been involved in a conference, you can ask these guys and ask Jan later. The best Bible conferences ever don't happen here on the platform. You know where they happen? Back there behind that wall. When we sit down and we talk about, did you see, and then regarding Syria, and did you see this thing coming, and did you, what about that? And then, what about that verse? Oh my goodness, I wish all of you could pull up a table. I mean, we need to do that someday. It's just awesome, because it's just awesome. Final thing about deception. The Bible gives us warnings in a unique description, by the way, that the last days are going to be days of likened unto the days of Noah. We don't even begin to embrace that. When's the last time you read about the days of Noah? My dear friend, it's pretty freaky, you know. The Bible says, Jesus said, I'm going to come back like it was in the days of Noah. You think it's bad right now? The stuff that Jan showed us, those pictures that keep you up at night. That's nothing compared to what's coming. Daniel chapter 2, beginning at verse 41 into 42, tells us that in the last days, it's going to happen again. It says, they, whoever they are, will mingle with the seed of men. There's things coming, ladies and gentlemen, that maybe it's going to be spun off as Microsoft. Maybe it's going to be spun off as Google. Maybe it's going to be spun off as DARPA. Maybe it's going to be spun off as something, some high-tech creation invention. I don't know. But I know this. You know this. Satan's no dummy. And he's already captured children with games. He's already captured a culture. None of us. Look, if somebody robbed me today, they'd be a poor man. You want to know why? I'm cashless. Listen, I have a wife. I have daughters. I don't have any money. I have no cash. I have no cash. It's a cashless society. My life is numbers, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible says in the end times, the enemy is going to use that. Days of deception. And we love it. Banking without numbers. I don't want to carry cash. Want to stop human trafficking? Really, do you really want to stop sex trafficking? Only one way. Bring in the mark. You want to secure the borders? Bring in the mark. You want to reboot global economies? Do away with them all. Bring in the mark. It's a perfect answer. And we are prime, we are ready. The days of deception. That's it on the very overt. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times or the end of days, some will depart from the faith. Don't let it be you. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Mike McIntosh, we were talking about those pictures Jan showed a moment ago. Is it possible that that nine-year-old boy, whatever he was, could he be possessed with a demon to walk like a 21-year-old on a Hollywood catwalk? How did that happen? What about his parents? What about the world we're in? What about the stuff that's happening? I believe that we are deep into already the days of demonic doctrines. And they're in churches. Replacement theology is demonic. Those who say they're of the, that they're Jews. Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia, he commended them. He said, I love the fact that you hate those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are liars. Today, replacement theology says, no, the church is Israel. That's a demonic doctrine. You got to throw your Old Testament away if you're going to embrace that trash. Oh, we don't recognize the government of Israel. Israel's occupying Palestine. Excuse me? Find Palestine in your Bible. There is no Palestine. It's never been a biblical term. It was slapped upon the land of Israel in 135 AD by Hadrian, the emperor of Rome, to insult the Jews. It's fabricated. You know now more about that than the UN knows. It's a doctrine of demons to deceive. Notice, it's anti-Israel, anti-Jew. That's how the world's going to be in the last days. Why? Satan knows that when Jesus comes back, he's coming back to the Jews. So if Satan thinks I'm going to kill the Jews, then there's no Jew for Jesus to come back to. Thank God Satan's going to lose. That's why Satan wants to rename Jerusalem. That's why he wants to split it. Are you with me? Look, if this offends you, just get your geography straight. Don't take it personal. Take it biblically. Jesus Christ is coming back, says the Bible, to the land of Israel, says the Bible, to the city of Jerusalem. Period. Satan doesn't want that to happen. Makes things real clear. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be, here's a promise, prophecy, false teachers among you, who will secretly, that is by stealth, inject destructive heresies. What does that mean? Teachings that are just a little bit off. That's pretty tragic. I'll single two groups out right now, and then we'll end soon. No, I have 11 minutes and 37 seconds. There's the mockers and scoffers. Mockers and scoffers. Jude 1, verse 17. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken to you by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last days, last times. 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first. Wow. That scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. And this is what they're going to be saying. Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant. Mockers. I don't believe Jesus could come back today. I don't believe Jesus is coming back. Mockers and scoffers. Watch out. Those are doctrines of demons. Well, yeah, but you know what? Pastor so-and-so said, I don't care who he is. I don't care if he's the Pope. I don't care if he's the priest. I don't care if he's Billy Graham back from the dead. I don't care if it's Mother Teresa. I don't care. I'm trying to think of somebody who's alive. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is on this platform. Anybody begins to inject and suggest, I don't think Jesus can come back soon. Listen, personally, I mark him. In my head. And I'll listen a lot to what they're going to say. Matthew 24, 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Blessed is that servant whom the master, when he comes, find him so doing. Verse 48. But if that evil servant in his heart says, my master delays his coming, notice the result of that doctrine, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him and in an hour when he's not aware of. Watch out. The second group is what I call, and I said it a moment ago, the replacement theology camp. I just call the fakers and the replacers. There's the scoffers and the mockers, and there's the fakers and the replacers. They say there are Jews and are not. They want to be Jewish. It's so funny. They want to be Jewish until persecution breaks out against the Jew, and then they're not Jewish anymore. And they're the fakers. They're the ones that are saying that the church took the place of Israel. What a devilish doctrine. For more on that, you can look at Revelation 3, 7 through 9. But we look at these three closing things. Jesus said, watch out, many deceivers are coming. Many, not a few. Church, relatively right now, listen to this. What's coming? Please listen as I close. What's coming? What we've experienced thus far is nothing compared to what's coming. If you are not seated in the Bible, if you're not rooted, there's going to be stuff happening that there's going to be such demonic powers through people who look right and sound right that unless you're grounded in the scriptures, you're going to get swept away. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 4, take heed to yourselves, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Can you imagine if your grandchild, I'm a grandparent, so I'm going to pick on having grandkids. I thought my life was over until we had grandkids. And now you got to get back in the fight. But if somebody came along, you know, if my daughter said, you know, our grandson went blind. And I heard down the street that there was some religious guy. And he's been opening up the eyes of the blind. He's been healing people. They can't walk and now they're walking. And you have a blind grandchild. What would you do? Hear me now. It's coming. Your grandchild's blind. You want them to see. There's a man down the street in a big gathering. Thousands of people are there. And you've been told that guy's got the power to open up the eyes of the blind. He's done it to three people already just last week. Get your grandbaby down there. But his teaching's a little off on the deity of Jesus. What are you going to do? You see? It's going to happen. Can you imagine if that happened in your family? And you held your ground and you said, don't take our grandbaby to that false prophet. And the rest of your family sees it differently, moved out of emotions because they have an emotionally based theology rather than a biblically based theology. No, if it feels right, I'm going to do it. And that's how you'll wind up in hell. Deceivers, many of them. Secondly, they're going to be charismatic. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says that they're going to come on the scene because people will not want to endure sound doctrine. Oh my goodness, listen, I'm almost done. Are we not living in that age now? People don't want sound doctrine. Honestly, with what you've heard today from all of these people, this should have been taught at the Rose Bowl today. No, seriously. The amount of scriptures you heard today, if truth was loved in Southern California, this conference should have been held at the Coliseum or the Rose Bowl. There should have been 100,000 people here today. You want to know why? Because it's true. People don't care about true anymore. They don't care. They don't want to know. I want to stick my head in the hole, and I don't want to know. Charismatic deceivers, just give me somebody that can really excite me. Give me enough juice on Sunday morning that their enthusiasm will take me through the rest of the week, and then I'll get another fix on Sunday morning. Give me a speaker that riles me up and gets me going. Doesn't matter about the content. Doesn't matter who's being glorified. Be careful. Woe unto us when the flocks begin to say, oh, did you hear him? Oh, did you hear him? Oh, what about her? What about them? That's dangerous. These precious speakers up here, you know what? We have a lot of things in common. But you know, I texted Amir while he was talking to you. I was back there and I said, can you believe, Amir, after all these years, that you and I get to do what we're doing right now by his glory, by his grace? Look, I've known these guys for so long, but listen, when Amir and I first met each other, we were a little Jack and a little Amir, and we were like this. And to see what God has done, but it's wonderful, but here's the problem. There's so few people anymore that want to hear the truth because feelings are getting in the way, because charismatic deception. Many deceivers, charismatic deceivers, and then we have the miraculous deceivers. They're going to perform miracles. And so I'm going to end with this. I want to encourage you to keep the faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I'm not kidding with what I'm about to tell you. You can get an app now and put it on your Bible, audio Bible. You can listen to it in your car. I'm going to ask you to start listening to the Bible when you wake up, when you go to sleep at night, when you drive when you get stuck on all of these great Southern California parking lots we have called the 91, 405, 5, 71, 91, you name it, 605, 710. It's ridiculous. 105, hate that one, built by Satan, 105. But you know what? Because the days and the roadways are evil, you can redeem the time by turning on the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Pump it into your head. Pump it into your head. The Bible, 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 more Bible. Why? You'll have hope. This book supernaturally will give you hope. This book supernaturally will keep you in power. This power. This book, keep the faith, stay in it. This book will guarantee fellowship. If you're watching right now, or if you're here right now and you're backslidden, you thought you'd come, good, glad you're here. Stop backsliding. Listen, here's how we know you're backsliding. You don't go to church anymore. I don't need to go to church to be saved. No kidding. I'm not going to go to church, a bunch of hypocrites. Join the club. I'm not going to go to church because there's no perfect church. That's why you should attend a church. There's no perfect church. Like you're perfect. You know what? God didn't say, but in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, get to church. You want to know why? Because there's weirdos at church. Let's be honest. We're family. It's true. Did God ask you to love one another or tell you? He told us. Why? He knows us. We're related. That's why we don't get along. We have to work at it. We get along with strangers. It's the church. We got a fellowship. Get back to a church now. I don't care what I did. As long as it's teaching the Bible, get back to it. Find a church, go to it. Make it happen. And then finally, be a witness. You know what? I don't blame the world for walking out on the church. I don't blame the world for laughing at us. You turn on certain Christian television programs, I laugh too. Then I start to cry. Because the world looks at us and said, what a bunch of bozos those Christians are. You know what? I get it. Just for the record, the church never died for anybody. You'll never see a church on a cross. A good friend of mine told me forever ago that his dad taught him, greatest thing you can do in life is to keep your eyes 6 feet or higher above people. Keep your eyes 6 feet or above. That's a good word. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because you know what? I Instagrammed last night because we have caterpillars in our house. I know it sounds gross, but we bring them in. We raise monarch butterflies in our backyard. But you got to have a caterpillar before it turns into a butterfly. But it's been freezing cold outside here in Southern California. You know it's the end of the world when it... it's this stupid cold. So we had to bring the caterpillars in the house. And I Instagrammed last night this caterpillar. He's in the kitchen and he's on a branch and he's moving like this. But I know these things, and he's looking to Jay, it's called. He's looking to Jay. He's done. He's getting ready to turn. Transformation's coming. I'm out of time. God bless you guys. It was nice. I'll end. Here it is. So go to my Instagram. You see him going like this. And he pauses for a moment. And he arches his back and he's looking up. He's looking for a branch. Why? He's going to go to a spot and he's going to anchor. It's silk. He's going to anchor with silk, his back legs. Then he's going to hang and he's going to go into the position of a J. J for Jesus. J. Anyway, he'll go into a J. He'll go into a J. And for anywhere from 14 to 20 days, the inside of that thing turns into a liquid and it liquefies and it's swirling inside there. You hold a light up to it and you see this transformation taking place. And then you walk out in the morning and you're going to see him come out of that thing. And a monarch butterfly is the most unique butterfly in all the world. Migrates 3,000 miles, most furthest migratory insect in the world. And it's beautiful. Flies different, acts different, eats different. It's remarkable. It's poisonous until it's transformed. It can't fly until it's released from its body. It doesn't go into the shape of a J until it's done walking on earth. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in his special message called What's the Big Deal About Bible Prophecy? Thanks for listening today. We're so glad that you could join us. And remember, some say the world is falling apart, but the Bible says the world is falling together. What's the Big Deal About Bible Prophecy is a message Pastor Jack gave at Proximity Conference on Bible prophecy and how it relates to today's culture and current events. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we'd like to encourage you to join the thousands who have already subscribed to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It's a great way to stay informed, stay in the Word, and stay encouraged in these often turbulent and difficult times. With videos on Bible prophecy and studies, important Christian worldview updates, live events, and so much more, you'll have the satisfaction in knowing what's happening around you while learning more about God and His Word. In a world that fills you with lies, slanders our belief system, and attacks us on every side, it's comforting to know we can turn to the strength and support that Pastor Jack's videos provide. You can access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs from the YouTube app or through our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.